Chapter number 4, I'm going to go ahead and unbutton this collar button before I get started. That'll save me fumbling around a little later. I want to read about the first parents and the first two children. I want to just try to draw a few little truths this morning if I can. And I think what would be right would be first to pray and then to read. And then I'm going to read the first 15 verses. I might have said chapters previously, but the first 15 verses. Then I want to try to bring you a little thought. Father, in Jesus' name, help us now. Lord, I ask you if you would to give us clarity. Father, I pray if you would, you just help us to speak in a way that is easy understood. Father, I pray you just give to me the very way I need to unload the burden that you placed on my heart. Help us now, Father. Get glory and honor and praise out of all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. We'll begin reading. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth, and Cain... I want you to listen to what these next verses say. And verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. My, that's quite a statement. That's quite a mindset to have. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Well, it's odd. I don't know what Cain's thinking is on that. Everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Maybe he thought, didn't understand the concept of death. I don't know. Verse 15, And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, it's just so much interesting truth here. We're I have it in my mind as we look at this passage, we're looking at grown children. I have that in my mind. I'm going to make application to children at home, but I think in the context of the passage, we're looking at grown children. I think it's interesting in verse number 7, he could have repented, but he didn't. And then he comes down to verse number 13, and it's as if he's went too far now, and he can't ever get back where he was. And so there's just so much, so many thoughts run through my mind as I look at this text. But recently, being sometime last week, I don't know when it was, I clicked in on a preacher, was listening to a preacher. I believe that he's the one it was, and it dawned on me. He said something, maybe he even made the point, I can't remember, but he said something about the prodigal son's father. How he had to, whether he just said some passing comment and the Holy Spirit moved me to think on it or not, I do not remember. But the thought came to me that the prodigal's father had to deal with his children's actions in his younger son and his children's attitude in his older son. Can I just say it this way? Here's a great truth for you before I even get to my little message this morning. Parents have a responsibility not only to deal with their children's actions, but their attitudes. Amen. That's right. Let me say that again, Mom and Dad. You have a responsibility not only to deal with your children's actions, but also their attitudes. And young folk, and I've got several of you, maybe I'm not supposed to say that, but I've said it already. Got several of you in the room, in the sanctuary this morning, and your attitude is maybe not as important, but I'm going to say it is. I think it is. I might need to think on that a little longer, but your attitude is just as important or is near as important as your actions are. I believe y'all could say this, that attitude leads to actions. I believe that'd be a fair statement to say. Parents, you have, listen to me, you have a responsibility to deal with attitudes. And as I begin to think about that, the Lord started me in Luke 15, and I couldn't get away from this thing of godly parenting. The more I would think about it, the more I'd get burdened, the more I'd feel stirred, and I didn't know what text to go to. I just wrestled around. I'd go over here and look over here, and man, I was just thinking on this thing. And the Lord brought me to our text that we have this morning. Brought me to Genesis 4. When I got to Genesis 4, it's as if I settled in. Now, I don't know if that's the way to get a message, but that's the way I got the message this morning. And so in Genesis 4, we see two sons. Two sons. They had the same parents. The same exact parents. They were raised in the same household. They most likely had the same friends. I guess there's four of them. Might have been more. I don't know. But they're around the same people. The same influence is what I'm trying to say. The same influences influenced both their lives. They're around the same people. They had the same education. Now, I don't know what education consisted of then, but they had the same education. Went to the, if you allow me just to speak symbolically, they went to the same school. Same education, same school. They were taught the same spiritual truths. Taught the same thing. Had the same friends. But yet, they walked down two different paths of life. Two different, entirely different paths of life. Their lives ended up entirely different. Now, if I were to ask you few young people, I'll say it that way, that are here this morning, would you rather be a Cain or an Abel? Abel lived right, died young. Cain lived wicked, died old. I'm asking you, what would you want to be? A Cain or an Abel? And then I'll ask you parents, why was it one went down the wrong road and one went down the right road? And here's what you're saying. Tell us, preacher. And can I say, I don't know, Brother Ronnie. I don't know. If I were Cain and I can ask you this same question, who are we going to blame Cain's wasted, that's the best word I can think of, wasted, his useless, his vain, his spent life? Who can we blame? Who can Cain blame his wasted life on? Who can he blame it on? Well, maybe Adam and Eve, because they failed in the garden and had they not fallen. But it didn't hinder Abel. Their parents were not perfect. They were sinful people, but Abel lived right. So I don't think that would hold up. Who is to blame, young people? I'm just asking you, who are we going to blame Cain's wicked, useless, wasted life on? Who are we? And if you let me just go on. Would you agree, first of all, that Cain had a wasted life?
Yes, sir.
Would you agree with that? Would you agree with me that it just seems. Now, I believe in preaching with authority, but I'm just going to leave this open this morning. It seems to me, would you agree, that Cain could only blame his failures on himself? I got a yes, sir, but I didn't get much else. I'm asking you, does Cain have anybody to blame beside himself? Based on what we have from the Word of God. Now, you might say this, Adam and Eve showed more favoritism to Abel. We don't know that. Maybe they did. Maybe he's the baby and they treat him different. Who knows? But all we have is the Word of God. And on the Word of God, friend, listen to me. The only one that Cain can blame his wasted, depraved, vain life on is himself. Now, maybe mom and dad felt guilty, and maybe this one felt guilty. But if you face the facts, Cain has to blame his wasted, useless life. I keep saying that. I want to emphasize that on himself. Here's what I'm wondering. Here's where I'm going to preach at this morning. I'm wondering, were there some early warning signs in Cain's life that had his mom and dad been aware of, had they picked up on, and maybe they did, I don't know, but is there some things we see in Cain as a grown man that maybe his mom and dad ought to have picked up on in his young life that would have maybe helped them in their parenting. Maybe helped them to have, and ultimately, I understand it's your decision. You young people here, you're here because your mom and dad made you come. That's why you're here. Now, you may have wanted to have come, but had you not wanted to have come, you would have been here anyways. That's how it is. I know that. You really, mom and dad, you will not know what kind of parents you have been until your children are out on their own. That's how it is. And really, I don't even know if that's an indication of what kind of parenting you did. I'm really not sure after I read this text. But here's what I'm wondering. Were there some warning signs? And I'll get to the message here in just a minute. Were there some warning signs early on in Cain's life? Maybe they get more rooted in his old as he ages. And were there some warning signs that had his parents been aware of, they might have been able to help salvage Cain's life? Now, I'm preaching to both young folk and parents today. And I'm going to jump back and forth because there's application on both sides. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Here's your title, Brother Mike. Warning Signs of a Self-Destructing Life. Warning Signs of a Self-Destructing Life. Young folk, you can self-destruct if you choose to. By that, I mean you can have godly raising. You can have the same education your siblings or your brothers and sisters had. You can have the same friends. You can go to the same church. You can learn the same truths. And if you choose to, you can take your life and destroy it if you choose to. You do with it. It's your life. It's your life. That's the only explanation I have for the difference in Cain and Abel's life. And my question is, are there some warning signs that the parents might pick up on to help them, to keep them, maybe to assist them would be the word I'm trying to think of. To assist them in helping their children salvage their life. I'm going to mention five of those just, I think, quickly this morning. But I'm going to mention those if I could. Number one, I see an aversion to obedience. That word aversion means strong feelings of dislike or opposition to. I see Cain was opposed to obedience. And it's such an odd thing. He disobeyed in obedience. Now, what do you mean by that? The Bible says in verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his... Let me back up and get verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. They both knew it was right to bring an offering, a sacrifice to the Lord. They both obeyed. They both brought a sacrifice. Hebrews 11 says Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. They knew to bring a sacrifice. Cain knew and Abel knew. But they also knew that they were to bring a blood sacrifice. So in obedience, Cain disobeyed. He obeyed, but he disobeyed. He had an aversion. He was opposed to obeying what he knew he was supposed to do. He knew it was right to sacrifice, and so he obeyed, but he brought a produce, he brought fruits and vegetables to the Lord instead of a blood sacrifice. So in his obedience, he disobeyed. He disobeyed the spiritual authority in his life. He disobeyed God. Many times, disobedience is camouflaged in obedience. Better listen to what I'm saying. Many times, disobedience is hid, is camouflaged, is covered up with a facade, a pretense of obedience. Now, he wanted to sacrifice. He wanted to go God's way. He wanted to offer a sacrifice, but he didn't want to do it God's way. Now, here are some underlying truths that go with that. He thought his way was better. He thought he knew what the spiritual authority in his life had said to him. He knew what he was supposed to be. But Cain said this, I know better. I know a better way. I know a better offering. He thought his way was better. Listen to me, but it wasn't. Young folk, his way was not better. His way was not better. His way was not better. He had an obligation. It was right. It was right for him to obey spiritual authority in his life, but he thought his way was better, and he disobeyed. His way was not better. In spite of his thinking, he thought his way was better. Really, if you get down to it, he thought he was smarter than God. You say, I'd never think that. When you disobey what God tells you to do and you think that's a better way, you're really saying, I'm smarter than God. That's pretty powerful. When you look at God, I guess it needs to stay behind the podium, but when you look at God and you say, I know more than you know, you're on dangerous ground. You young people better listen at me this morning. I'm burdened over this thing. I'm troubled this morning. You don't know better than the spiritual authority in your life. That's why God placed them there. Oh my. He thought he was smarter than God. Some of you think you're smarter than your parents and your pastor. Whoever else, the spiritual authorities. Some of you women may think you're smarter than your husbands are. My. He thought he was smarter than the spiritual authority in his life. And then he thought this. He thought partial disobedience was obedience. Let me just stop. He thought partial disobedience was obedience. In fact, it's not. Partial disobedience, young folk, children. Does that offend you for me to call you children? That's what you are. You're children. I know we build children up, young folk up. We try to pump them up and encourage them, and we ought to, and that's right. Fact of the matter, are you just children? That's what you are, don't you see? You're trying to get to adulthood. That's all you're doing. Trying to become adults. Listen to me, young folk. Partial obedience is disobedience. I think, I'm not just talking to young folk on that point. I think that's all of us. Here's what came. He knew he needed to sacrifice, but he didn't really like to be told how to do it. Don't tell me, Mom, Dad, I know. You don't have to say anything. I know. That's Cain.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to say anything. God, I know what to do. I'm smarter than you are. I'll bring a better offering. And so he had this attitude. I'll do things my way. Can I tell you that's nothing more than willful disobedience. Sad, isn't it? Isn't it sad? Those precious little babies you held in your arms, and then they grow up and they start playing games with you, Mom and Dad. They start playing these little games and acting like you're stupid and unlearned and don't know anything. Here's Cain's attitude. I'll do what you want, but I'm going to do it my way. That's an attitude. You know what the root sin of that is? Rebellion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's rebellion, young folks. You're a rebel. You're not a good... If that's your attitude, you're not a good godly person. You're a rebel against God. That's what you are. You're not godly. You're a rebel against God. Now, I know you parents don't appreciate me saying that to your children, but I have to. God put it on me. I have to preach to you. Cain's attitude, I'll sacrifice. I'm going to do it my way. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. How many of you young folk can finish that? Raise your hand if you could finish that verse. For this is what?
Right.
This is right. My, listen to me. How many of you tuned in this morning, you young folks sitting on the couch and maybe in your pajamas, know the verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And yet, you don't. You know what's rooted in your hearts, young people? A spirit, an attitude, a mentality, whatever word you want to use. I'm using attitude. An attitude of rebellion. I'm the very one to tell you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And that makes you a rebel. That makes you a rebel. When you operate on the influence of rebellion, it makes you a rebel. You may not be as godly as you think you are. Listen to me. Listen to me. Those of you on the webcast, listen to me. You may not be as godly a young person as you think you are. Mom and Dad, you may not have as godly of young people in your home. I know you think highly of them. I do too, but I'm telling you, God burned this in my heart. If they're harboring rebellion, they're sinning against God, and they're out of His will, they need to get right. That's how it is. They need to repent. Need to repent. He disobeyed in obedience. I'll do it, but I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it my way. Can I tell you, that is a warning sign of a self-destructing life. That was Cain. That was Cain. My. It's so sad. When that verse says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, what that says is that God expects you to obey the godly authority He's placed in your life. That's your parents. Are you hearing me? That's your parents. To disobey your parents, listen, is to disobey God. Stop and think about it. He told you to obey them. To disobey them is to disobey God. They're standing between you and God as a godly authority, and if you cannot obey them, how in the world are you going to obey God? How are you going to do it? Let me just give you some examples. Let me make it real in your life. This almost seems childish, elementary. But the Lord give it to me no more. Let's say your parents, young folks, let's say your parents say to you, I want you to clean your room now. I want you to pick up everything that's on the floor. I want you to sweep, mop, or if it's carpet, I want you to vacuum, and I want you to make your bed. You say, that's such a trivial little thing. Here's what it is. Here's what it is in God's eyes. Spiritual authority has given you instructions to follow. Now, let's say you agree, your room's a mess, it's getting on your nerves, you know it needs to be cleaned up. And so you agree, I'm going to clean it up. But you decide this, I'm too busy to clean it up now, like they asked me to. I'm too busy to do that. I'm too occupied with what I'm doing. I'll clean it up later. Let me ask you, young folks, is that obedience? It's not. You disobeyed godly authority. You disobeyed in your effort to be obedient. You disobeyed in God's displeased. And at the root of your disobedience is rebellion. Just such a little simple issue. Just a little root of rebellion. Little root. We could go on. Maybe you're willing to clean it up, but you think this, the bed don't need making up. They want me to make the bed and I'll be going back to bed in 3 or 4 or 5 hours. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing it. I'll pick it up. I'll vacuum the floor. I'm not making the bed. Can I tell you what that little seemingly innocent attitude is? That's rebellion. That's a root of rebellion. The godly authority in your life asks you to do, and here's what you said no. And God said that children obey your parents in the Lord, and you said no. You said no. God, I know what you said, but I'm not going to do it. You sinned against God. You sinned against God. You say, preacher, you're taking a little thing and just blowing it way out of proportion. Don't you know little things become big things? Mom and Dad, don't you know when you tolerate little rebellion, it turns into big rebellion? Sin doesn't stay dormant in your life. If you don't deal with it, it grows and it grows and it grows. And one day, you'll be a rebel against God. And it won't be cleaning your room. It'll be against the Scriptures and the commands and truths of the Word of God. Are y'all following me here? This is a burden on my heart because we're just so loose, if I can say it that way, in our society. My, you can be disobedient in obedience. And here's what you say. It's not a big deal. But I want to remind you young people, and those of you listening, rebellion is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. Well, I'm going to clean my room, but I'm going to be like Cain, and I'm going to do it my way. There's some underlying truths behind your attitude. I've already shared them, I'm going to share them again. Partial obedience is obedience. The underlying truth. Let me back up. Let me say it this way. Here's what you think. Partial obedience is obedience. With God, partial obedience to spiritual authority is disobedience. It's rooted in rebellion. I keep saying that. I want you to know, if you don't obey your parents, you're rebels. You're rebels against God. Oh, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a rebel against God. And you need to get right with God. Well, I know more than my parents do. I know best, not them. I see that all the time. I don't mind disobeying God. I know it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, but I'm not going to. I'm going to rebel against God's Word. It's not that important to obey God. What you're saying? What you're saying to God? Now, I could take a whole list of the same things. Go do your homework. I know y'all, some of you, y'all know I know some of you's had little homework issues. I'm not gonna beat around on that, try to make you feel bad about it. But I want you to say this, when your parents give you instructions on your homework, y'all do your homework and y'all do it the way they ask you to do it. If you want to be right with God. Now you may be like Cain, you may want to go down that road to self-destruction. And if you do, you just go right ahead. But I promise you, it'll cost you a lot more than you want to pay. Here's what you'll say one day, it's just more than I can bear. It's too much. It's more than I can bear. My, here's what I'm saying to you. The first, let me not just, but I think about the FBI. I've watched how some of the kids act in FBI. I've watched how some of the kids act in Sunday school. I watch how some of the kids act in church. Not a bit more paying attention than anything. They're doing what their parents said for them to do. They don't care nothing about it. They're not going to do right by it. That makes you a rebel, young folks. That makes you a rebel. My, I could fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. My. And so we see the first warning sign of a self-destructing life is an aversion to obedience to godly authority. Now, Mom and Dad, what should you do? What's the answer? I know it all varies on age. We have to be respectful. We have to do this and do that. But can I just say this? You ought to address the issue. You ought at least pray about the issue. You ought to at least realize your child's got a problem. You ought to realize that. My child's got a problem about obeying authority. And you ought to at least seek God's direction on it. I do know that chastisement is what drives foolishness from the heart of a child. I don't know if that's the answer every time. I don't know at what age you do this and what age you do that. I understand that's different with different folks. But I'm simply saying to you, if that attitude persists, Mom and Dad, that child is going to end up on a road that's going to cause them to self-destruct. And then number two, I want you to notice this. Verse number 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And you might have thought Cain would say, well, let me go get the right kind of offering. Let me go do what's right. You're not going to respect this offering. I want to plead. By the way, young folk, let me tell you this. When your heart's right with God, you will want to please your parents. I should have said that before I got off that point. When your heart is right with God, you'll want to be pleasing to your parents. Here is Cain, and the reason that came to my mind, you would think Cain would want to please God. You would think Cain would look at the situation he's in and say, hey, I displease God. Let me go do like Abel. Let me get a blood sacrifice. Not Cain. You know what Cain did when spiritual authority didn't respond the way he wanted the Lord to respond? You know what he did? He became angry. Wroth. Angry. Upset with the spiritual authority for not responding the way he wanted him to respond. Now, young folk, can you make application or do I need to make it for you? How many times has Mom and Dad said no, and instead of wanting to please them and accepting that, you got angry about it? They didn't respond the way you wanted them to, and they became angry. They didn't say, I want to please you, and if you think that's not right, I don't want to go. Instead, they just got angry. I can't believe how unreasonable they are. I cannot believe what they're doing to me. They're ruining my life. They're wrecking my life. I don't have a life. I don't have friends. They're restricting me. They're keeping me from having a life of happiness. And they're angry. Can I tell you, that's a warning sign of self-destruction. Really, at the root of that is resentment. You resent your spiritual authority doing what's best for your life. That's what you do. You're resentful. My young people, you're never right to get angry at spiritual authority. It's never right. It's never right. Really, I could preach this to wives to their husbands. And the application's the same. It's never right to become angry and upset and attackful. We'll see later, this anger turned into violence. It became attackful. My, this thing of anger. When your parents places restrictions on your life, restrictions on your friends, restrictions on your devices, your cell phones, your iPads and your internet, your Game Boys or whatever they're called now that you play them little games on. When they place restrictions on them and you become angry, my, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. There's something wrong. When they place restrictions on your dress, it's just wrong. Young people, here's what I'm trying to say. It's never right for you to get angry when your parents tell you what you don't want to hear. It's not right. It's not right for you to smart mouth. And really, if they did right, they'd wire you out for it. I know that's not political correct, but and we're on the internet and whatever, but it's the truth. Disrespect to your parents needs to be dealt with and dealt with immediately. It'd stop a lot of this nonsense that's out there. Well, about preached it cold, but I'm telling you the way it is. I've got three other points I need to preach. Here, let me give you this, young people. Here's what the Bible says. Those of you who get angry at mom and dad, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger, listen, young folks, listen. Those of you at home, take time out now from doing what you're doing. Pay attention just a minute, young folk. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That's the Bible. Amen. Young folks, when you get angry and you harbor anger, I won't call you a fool, but I'll say this, you're acting like one. Amen. You're acting like one. You see, anger at godly authority, it's a sure warning sign that you're headed towards self-destruction. Your parents can say all the right things they want to say to you. But if you're going to get angry about it and puff up and turn them off, you're headed to self-destruction. That's what Cain did. What you ought to do is do what Cain did not do and repent and do what you ought to do. And line up behind what they say to do. And so we see that thing of anger. And then we see that admonition or warnings. I'm trying to keep it alliterated this morning. Admonitions were rejected. I mean, here's what the Lord said to him, verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Listen, I know you messed up, but just do well and I'll accept it. What that is a verse of repentance, don't you say? He said, look, you've messed up, but just repent and do right and I'll accept you. Yes, sir. And Cain did it. No, that's not what the Bible says. He rejected that. Brother Brian, can you believe he rejected that? Can you believe God Himself said, I'm going to give you another chance. Just do right. And if you don't do right, I want to warn you, sin is lying at the door. And He wouldn't do right. Some of you listening right now, some of you listening by way of our webcast. You know what I'm saying's right. You know you need to straighten up. But you will not heed my warning. You will not do right. You'll reject my admonition. And why? You'll go on down the road of self-destruction. That's where you're headed. When you reject warning after warning, you're headed down the road of self-destruction. It's all your parents can do. All they can do is instruct you, command you, warn you you're not doing right. Discipline you when it's necessary. That's it. You see, Cain had the same parents Abel had, but Cain's making some decisions in him and putting some things in his life that's going to bring his self-destruction shortly. I really don't have time to preach them all. I'm out of time. I know you're struggling there at home. I could say much about that. But I want to say this. Don't be a loser. Don't be a loser, young folk. Don't be a loser until you find somebody who will tell you what you want to hear. Don't be a loser. I think Cain rejected godly counsel, probably sought him out somebody that'd tell him he was doing the right thing. That's probably what happened. You say there wasn't anybody. Well, I guess there wasn't. Maybe he just talked himself into it. I guess he did. I don't know. But we live in a time, whatever you want to hear, young folks, listen, whatever you want to hear, you can find somebody who'll tell it to you. Find somebody who'll tell it to you. Here's what I'm saying. He rejected good sound warnings. Good sound admonitions. Young folks, listen to me. Let me just say, I can't hardly quit this morning. Don't be hard-headed, stubborn, pig-headed, whatever the word you want to use is. Don't be like that. Don't refuse to admit you're wrong. You're not smart. You take all these adults in here, here's what they would really say to you young people if they'd be honest. Y'all are really not smart. You've not lived long enough. Now, they won't say that to you because, well, some of you might, but they won't say that to you because they want to be kind to you. But that's the facts of life. That is the truth. You have great potential, but if you choose to self-destruct, you're just going to have to self-destruct. You say, oh, I'll make it right. Sometimes you can't ever get back. Some young girl chooses to go against mom and dad's teachings and loses her purity. Can I say this? She'll never get it back. It's gone. It's gone. Gone forever. You think Cain can get back the sin of murdering his brother? He can't undo it. Young folks, you can go far enough, you can't undo it. You better heed sound counsel. You better listen. You better take it. When somebody warns you, you better heed what they say.
Yes, sir.
God told him, said, now look, can't just do right and I'll accept you. But if you're going to sin, if you're going to keep on, rather, sin life at the door. If you don't do well, is what the Scripture says. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Young folks, I'm going to stop right here. I know it's very difficult at home keeping the balance. I've got a couple of other things. I'll give them to you. Maybe you he antagonized the innocent. He attacked Abel. Why did he attack Abel? What did Abel do to him? Abel brought condemnation to his life. He brought guilt. So he attacks him. If he can put him down, get him out of the way, that'll make Cain feel better. You ever attacked your pastor? You ever attacked your mom and dad? You ever start finding fault? You better be careful. Somebody always finding fault with the young people of a godly church. Be careful about that. And listen, I'm talking to you young people. And I want to say this. Here's what you might ask yourself. Who is my godly authority? If you're not out on your own and you're under the roof of mom and dad, and I'm talking about Brady, I know you're adult. Emily and Grace are adults. And I don't know who I'm speaking to there who are adults. As long as you're in that household, you need to respect the authority of the head of household. They're buying your groceries, paying your utility bill, putting you in a bed, washing your clothes, putting a roof over your head. You have an obligation to obey the head of household. 5 or 45, you have an obligation to obey the head of household. If you don't, you're a rebel against God. Mom and Dad, when your children start finding fault with all the church kids, be careful. Be careful. There's a good chance they're on their way to self-destruction. And then lastly, when they begin to be, avoiding the truth. When they avoid the truth. Here's what the Lord said to Cain. Where is Abel thy brother? You think Cain knew about where Abel was? He killed him. Unless somebody has dragged him off, unless mom and dad's found him and dragged him off somewhere or took him home or done something with the body, Cain knows exactly where Abel is. But here's what Cain says. I know not. I don't know. You ever had children who tell you the very least that they can tell you? You know. They won't come out and say it, but you know they're just not being totally honest. That's Cainite in nature. That's Cainite in nature. He really couldn't say 100% sure. Mom and Dad might have found the body and moved it. So he said, I don't know. But he did know. It was deceptive. Young folks, when you start trying to tell your parents as little as you can possibly get by with, to appease them, you're Cainite in nature. Amen. Amen. That will lead you, that attitude, that mentality will lead you down the road to self-destruction. It won't be your parents' fault. It won't be your friends' fault. It won't be your brother's fault or your sister's fault. It won't be your pastor's fault. It'll be your fault. Now, I've mentioned all these. Aversion to obedience, anger, admonitions rejected, antagonistic towards the innocent, avoiding the truth. I want to ask you, are you guilty? Are you going to be like Cain and lie about it or ignore the warning? Are you guilty? Just asking, how about you on the webcast? Are you guilty of what I've just preached on? Now here's the right thing to do if you're guilty. Repent. I will tell you what God told Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. What that's really saying, the Lord's saying, if you'll do right, I'll accept you. Are you willing to do right? Are you willing to admit you've been a rebel? You've not been as honest as you ought to have been. Been a little untruthful. That's the right way to say it, untruthful. My, I want to encourage you. You go around with anger at your mom and dad all the time. Can I tell you, you're a modern day Cain. Could be. It may be. I know we all have occurrences of these things. But when it begins to be a habit, and a pattern in your life, you better deal with it. You better ask God to forgive you. You better get right. I'm going to pray. While I'm praying, you need to do business with God. Please do it. Sister Sharon's going to come sing her closing song. And while I'm praying, Sister Sharon, you make your way on up. Father, in Jesus' name, please take the truth this morning. Lord, if you're speaking, If you're speaking to young folk, if you're speaking to mom and dads this morning, oh God, please, please help them. Give them boldness. Give them what they need to act upon the truth they've heard today. Help us not to be canines. Oh God, help us. Help us, Father. Help us to be honest and truthful and follow You. Help us not to self-destruct. Oh God, we need You to touch and help us. We'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.